Okay, happy Friday morning for both of us. You're just more reasonable point to be waking up than I am. And this is this year's Ilui Nishmat Chaim Yisrael ben Herschel Tzvi, my father-in-law. Harvey Lippman, whose yard site was this past Sunday, the unveiling is going to be Hashem this coming Sunday. And I love this parsha, Parsha Tolda, because it has my favorite double pun. Vita knows this, right? This is by Duluha Narim, by He Esav Ish Yodea Tzayt Ish Sader, Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalet. Right? Esav was a man outstanding in his field, and Yaakov was in tent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you get that? You have to explain the pun here.
Thank you for translating it according to Ava.
Oh, intense. Okay.
Intense. He was, Yoshev Ohalet, yeah. He was intense.
I didn't look at
and
the
Esav
English.
And Esav was outstanding in his field. He said that. Okay, so double pun here. So I do it. So if you remember anything from here, remember that Yaakov was intense. Please share that with Mitch, okay?
All right.
He will appreciate this.
Wait, okay, I better write the rest this down. Jackie, could you write this down? Esav was outstanding in his field, but Yaakov was intense. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Hi, Mitch. Okay, but for the shiur, I'm going to look at the sale of the birthright. Right? We know what happens in the parsha. By Yazed Yaakov Nazid, Yaakov made a pottage, as the word goes. And Esav came back from the field where he was outstanding, and he was exhausted. And Esav says, Yaakov, halikini now, pour for me now. From that red stuff. Because I'm exhausted. That's why they all called him red. And Yaakov says, okay, sell your birthright, your bechorah to me. And Esav says, back, look, I'm going to die. What do I need this bechora for? And Yaakov says, swear it to me as clear as day. And Esav swears. And he sells the bechora to Yaakov. Yaakov natan le'Esav. And Yaakov had given to Esav lechem, mizyashim, bread, and a mess of pottage. I like that term. Vayochel vayesh, and Esav eats, and he drinks, vayakram vayelach, and gets up, and he goes, vayivez Esav b'chorah, and Esav despised b'chorah. I think the notice about that, despite what we know about what happens here, what does not happen is that Esav does not sell the birthright for a mess of pottage. Right? He sells the b'chorah to Yaakov, and Yaakov natan is the past perfect. Had given before the mechira happened. Yaakov had given Esav the lechem and the bread and the lentil soup, which is why everyone makes lentil soup for this week. We had it as well, but everyone had the lentil soup for this Shabbos. Had given the mess of pottage, so it's by Yimkor Bechor to Yaakov. Esav sells the Bechor to Yaakov. We don't know what he was selling it for. What was the price that Yaakov paid? And more than that, what was this bechorah? What did he sell? What does it mean to have a bechorah? What is Esav doing here? So, classic question. And the simplest understanding is with Ibn Ezra that this was a financial arrangement. Ibn Ezra, bechorah shikach pishnayim b'mamon aviv. Bechorah was inheriting a double portion. That's part of halacha. We know that from much later in the Torah, where it says, when it talks about the Bechor, you can't recognize your favored wife's child over another one. The firstborn gets a double portion in the inheritance. And evidently, this was a thing in other cultures as well. This is an article by Sharon Rimon, who is something. She writes articles on the Yeshiva Har Etzion website. I'm not sure what her status is there. So this is a quote from a Chokei Ashura Tichona, from the laws of central Assyria. Achim ki yachukku b'chuzet avihem, when brothers divide up the estate of their father, haben abachar yivchar, the firstborn should choose the kashnei chalakim b'chalko, gets to choose a double portion. So being a b'chor gives you a double portion. That presumably is what the birthright was. That's what Yaakov, why Yaakov wanted it. He wants the money. The problem with that then is, why does Esav sell it? And more than that, you know, it describes as vayvez Esav b'chor. He despises the b'chor, right? It's not just that, oh, he's hungry and he really wants it. That he scorns it, right? He was very out of character for Esav. As we see him depicted, he's going to turn down free money. Where's vayvez Esav the b'chora? And more than that, Gemara looks at what he's saying and makes the reaction even more extreme. This is the Gemara, the guidance about what Esav was doing at this point. And by the chronology, they're teenagers. Verse 15. Amar Yochanan. Esav did five things, wrong, bad things that day. He really went off the derech. Baal Naram Rasa, committed adultery, haragat nefesh, committed murder, the kafar be'ikar, denied God's existence, kafar b'zichiyat ha'metim, denied the resurrection of the dead, b'shat at the b'chora, and he shut.
And he Isn't shut like floated?
Was what?
Floated. Shut mean like float?
Right, so what does that mean? Right, he floated, he swam with the b'chora. No. So Rashi explains what shadid b'chora means, and that's what I'm focusing on. I want to focus on the other things if you get that. But this is specifically what it's talking about him with the b'chora, the shadid b'chora, shat tagum el shel bizayon. Shat is the, Rashi tells us, the Aramaic word for bizayon, right? To despise, to scorn, to treat lightly. And this is from Shmuel Bet. And here's the whole passage from Shmuel Bet. When it, of course, we like Shmuel Bet because we just learned all this. This is at the point where Yehuda and Yisrael are getting into a huge fight. There's going to be a civil war that's going to split the kingdom apart. This is Shmuel Bet. This is under David. This is well before Shlomo and Rehava. David fights a war to keep the nation together, but it's barely held together. And here's the pasuk from Shmuel. Vayan ish Yisrael Yehuda. The people of Yisrael talk to tell Yehuda. Vayomer esher yadot li b'melech. And they say, no, the king is ours. He's our king. We're 10 times as populous as you, as 10 times as many tribes as you are. David and David himself, I mean, I have more claim to David than you are. They're arguing whose king is David? Is he the king of Israel or king of Yehuda? And why have you treated me lightly? I was the one who came back first after the rebellion of Absalom to bring him back. And the words of Yehuda were even harsher than the words of Israel. This is the point where, at the end, this is when David's kingdom is going to fall apart, and almost does. But the term Hekilotani, he says, Rashi says back here, Madewa Hekilotani, Hagmiratan Eshtatani. Hikilotani, treating me lightly is this Aramaic word of shat.
But that's not despise. That doesn't have a sense of despise in it.
Right. It means to treat it lightly, to out there, and basically from the klala, similarly to curse. So that becomes an interesting question. That's what I'm going to quote here. The Torah Tamima is asking, why does Rashi use that example to translate Bizayon? The problem is that our pasuk, when it says Vayved Esav et Bechora, the Tagum Onkelos on that pasuk is Veshat Esav Yat Bechuruta. In other words, that's the proof that's the Aramaic word for Bizayon. In fact, it says it translates that word Vayved et Bechora as Shat.
But again, where are you getting the despise from?
I'm like, translating the word bizayon that way. How would you translate bizayon in Hebrew?
It not despise, more it was like
mock, scorn.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with scorn. That's fine.
Or garbage, you know, he just didn't want it. It was
right. Okay. Right, to treat it lightly.
Yes, but in a very negative way, right?
I'm a little
bit. Bisayo. We used to say right that. Esa Bisayo. What a
embarrassment. Yeah.
Right, Bisayo. Like you're treating it like trash.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, you know, so despise is a hatred. So I I'm willing to go with some. The question that I want to emphasize is here in Rashi, though, why he's picking this example from Shmuel, right, when the actual passage that he's talking about Esav, I'm looking on disgrace is way Google translated it. Disgrace, contempt, shame, ignominy. Contempt. How's that?
Yeah, those are good.
Right. It's interesting because I agree with this. I wouldn't equate contempt and disgrace. But
okay. So I will go with the sense here of contempt. He treated it with contempt. So here's the Torah Tmima on that idea. What does Rashi see in that word? In the Gemara here, the Gemara is not telling us what we already know, right? If he does it, so the Gemara, he treated it with contempt. What is he adding? That he's putting this example from Shmuel, well, from the Yehuda Israel. Well, Masha Hibi Raya Latago, Shaib Shatta, and Baruch Epstein, understanding Rashi. And the fact that Rashi brings it, translates Shatta.
There's an aleph there, and
Aramaic though aleph is a particle. It's like a hey in right. Hebrew at the beginning word means the. So it's and I think that's where it comes from in Hebrew also. It's influenced by the Aramaic. By the time you get to modern Hebrew, you got a lot of this kind of Gemara Mishnaic Hebrew coming in through it that does add an aleph in a lot of places or drops an aleph. And he brings the proof, the definition from the Pasuk of Shmuel. It's Ora Mufarshim. The Mufarshim are all in a tizzy. Lama Havi Mimirchak, Perish Vishata. Why is he bringing this explanation from so far away? But Pasuk said, Gabufra talking about Yves Vaisha. Right? It's right there in the Pasuk, right? If I want to prove that this is the Aramaic word, it's right there. This is obviously a really strange thing. I wonder. He's trying to explain why the Gemara picks that language, because the whole Gemara here is in Hebrew. Why they pick an Aramaic word? Why take this Aramaic word? So Rashi is saying, like a dear Rishat Esav. They're emphasizing that this was a bigger than simply thinking, holding in contempt in his own mind. It wasn't just that it was in his heart. That's what Biza means. As here's another pasuk from Shmuel, Tivez lo biliba. And she despised Michal and David, right? She despised, had contempt for her. That's right, not despise. She had contempt for David in her hearts, right? That's a feeling inside. Shata really has a sense of lahakil, is to publicly say something, to make a big deal about it.
Oh.
Of a old parhesia. That's what he's saying, that the word shut has more of a sense of outwardly, not just. Contempt is a feeling.
A word I was looking for is belittled.
Belittle. Okay, that's a good one. And that goes with the cow.
And that helps with, right, hekel, right.
Hekel, right. So this is, and they say that the difference is that the that this was an open thing. This is not just he felt that it happened. He made a big deal about it. Well, Debbie B. Rashi, Laraya Shapira Shatal Bizanu Kobamash, because this is what happened with the Pesach and Shmuel when they were openly belittling each other between Yehuda and Yisrael.
But wait, I have some.
Who are the real Jews?
Here. It doesn't fit with Vativeslo Billy Ba.
Right.
So how they get the Farhesia from that?
Right. That's his point, is that by there itself is would imply Felix. The Gemara is saying that these terrible sins that they're darshaning, right? The text doesn't say he committed murder either or that he committed adultery explicitly. The Gemara is in the Midrashic sense is expanding on an ace of sin. And the expansion by Yves is explicit. The Midrash is Bishat Bikil, he publicly belittled. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what the Hormuz says. That's what Gemara is telling us. Right. That's what the Gemara is adding here for understanding the pasuk. But we should read this as that he went out of his way to belittle the Bechora. We're going to quote this medrash, but in part, he's quoting a medrash here, that he got a bunch of his low-life buddies together, and they were all getting together and making fun of Yaakov for buying this Bechora. That's the medrash.
They have to make Esav really bad, murder, adultery, rape, because that justifies what Yaakov did by tricking him and tricking Esav, Yitzchak, the deceit of Yaakov.
That's a bigger point that,
right.
Like the Midrash always turns, the Torah's characters are not black and white.
Right.
The Midrash always turns them into black and white.
I see.
We're getting literary. Okay. I mean that's a much bigger topic.
Yeah.
But it is true. Okay. So the question then is, what does Bechora mean? If we're going to see Esav as belittling Bechora, then it can't be a matter of the inheritance rights. That's not something that an Esav, however we read Esav, would be belittling. I mean, it would say, okay, I'd rather have the mess of potters than some future rights, but belittling implies it means nothing at all. That doesn't fit with this idea of, okay, we get more money. I wouldn't belittle that. So Ibn Ezra, who says that, has to explain it. He says, why Esav is belittling the Bechora? Is that because Yitzhak didn't have any money. Yitzhak was poor, they had nothing. Double portion of zero is still zero. Okay? This is the way Ibn Ezra, because he has to explain it somehow. Right? This is Ibn Ezra. Vayivez Esav, gam zot bechora, bavur shira she'en la'aviv osher. He belittled it because they weren't going to get any money out of the old man in the end anyway. Rabbi Nitma Amur, and Ibn Ezra admits that everyone asked, on Ibn Ezra's opinion, that we see no evidence that he was poor, right? So we know how he azablo Abraham amon rav. Abraham had lots of money. He describes as being rich. But he says ki ilaru ki mehem be a mehem. That's what you bet there. Ashir gadol ben rav uval yidei only no. Okay, let's assume that he lost his money, right? Yet Ibn Ezra has to assume that Yitzhak has nothing in order for his theory to make sense. If Bechora means double portion and Esav is belittling it, then there must not be any money there. So they lost the money, whatever, it goes up and down. And the proof there is the fact that Yitzchak loved Esav because he fed him. If they had money, then what do you need his son to go hunting for? He could go order in from, the kosher restaurants they had in Be'er Sheva. Speaking of which, rumor has it that Cohen's is closing.
That Cone's what?
That is closing. Speaking of ordering in from food. This is rumor right here. I'm spreading rumors here, but the Lenny's been trying to retire for a while.
Is somebody buying it?
Evidently not. So time to make all of that clearly. But I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. You know how you'll lechem rab, and if they had a lot of, if they had enough food, the Beit Aviv, if they had enough food, who are nichbad be'enav, and if they had a lot of food, lo mechar b'chorah, tell about word nizid, right? And Ibn Ezra is saying that, well, Esav would never have sold the b'chorah for the food if he had plenty of food. And if his father ate, delicacies of day, matama marhavili side. Why, when he's looking for the bracha, why would he ask his son to bring me sayid? That's Ibn Ezra's reasoning. I mean, everyone complains in Ibn Ezra. Well, the point of the Yitzhak asking Esav to bring sayid is the act of bringing it was the mitzvah, was a gift that was something special. And why doesn't Yaakov have nice clothes that Rivka has to tell him, go get Esav's nice clothes? Again, this is pushing the text, but it seems in context she's asking for Esav's clothes in order to fool Yitzhak that it's Esav. Not Imo Kesav Zahav, but Derech, and why didn't Yaakov get money when he's running away at the end of the parasha to Lavan? To Omer Natan Lachem Lachol Begad Levos, she's diving to Hashem for food and clothing. I mean, when Rashi brings the Midrash on that he was robbed on the way. And why didn't she, afterwards, when he gets to Lavan, she send him some money, even though he's far away? We know how to send our children money, right? So for some of our children, we're still supporting. Why did Yaakov have to work when he went to Lavan? So that's all these pieces of evidence that Ibn Ezra brings, that obviously they were poor. Yitzchak was poor. And everyone said, no, they must have had some sheep. So Rivka says, go to the sheep, get me these two kids, for I can serve your father and fool him. So he said, no, maybe they had a little bit of sheep, of livestock. Maybe it means go to the Gedi store. Buy me a Gedi for your father. That's Ibn Ezra. Everyone else complains about the Ibn Ezra because he's got to warp the text really to make that fit. There's no hint there. And in fact, it says explicitly that, the next parak, that Yitzhak becomes rich in Abimelech, in the land of Plishtim. And that's before the bracha, so it's pushing it there. So everyone says, no, that can't be right. So I don't understand b'chorah to mean a double portion, because it's not inconsistent with Esau's behavior, so I see no reason to believe that, okay, well, they had no money. So what's b'chorah? This is the Malbim. This is the Malbim that brings one reading that's more the traditional one. He brings a second reading that I thought was interesting, which was that the Pechora, being the firstborn, meant you had the responsibility to care for the family. But Yezid Yaakov, his responsibility. Gamal Bechor, Mutal Hanhagat HaBayit. That was the responsibility to lead the family. That was what the Pechora, the firstborn, was supposed to do. The Parnes at Aviv, to support Aviv Imo, B'nei Beito, to support his mother and father and the household. The Ram brings this explanation. That's the Bechorah here. So that's what Yisav is by Yivez. He belittles it because he doesn't want that responsibility. Kasher. Man, a lot of typos here. This is from Sfaria. We got to edit them. Kasher Ra'ash Esav in a royal day. Yaakov sees that Esav is not the person to take the responsibility. And Esav is not taking seriously the responsibility he already had as a Bechorah. And here's that's despised Bechorah. That's why Yaakov was what he was cooking. Yaakov was cooking for the family. That's what the Yazed Yaakov and Yazid was. Esav should be the one cooking dinner. Esav was out there gallivanting in the field. and specific, and even more so if you read the Agarata, that Chayasudat Havara, Shel Almavet Abraham, that this was Abraham's, right after Abraham was death, and they were seeing Shiva, and that's what Yaakov was cooking his lentils for. Hulo Chasit Abel, Almavet Tukno, and Esav was just didn't bother with mourning for his grandfather, Rakban Mesad death. Okay, that's the Bechorah. Responsibility, that's also out of character, the idea that Esav. I mean, the one thing that Esav is good at is kibbutz. That's one thing he does, to say he didn't want to cook for his father. He clearly did cook his father. That's the Asim Matamim. So Esav brings barbecue for his father, and Yaakov cooks beans. I mean, okay, so obviously you're going to give the bracha to Esav there. I mean, what, again, that doesn't, it, I can't see that Esav is by Yivez the Bechora. If it meant sort of supporting the family, doing those kind of household responsibilities, because we see Esav does that. I think the cute idea, I don't think it really fit. So the usual explanation, which I do think it fit, that the Bechorah was a spiritual responsibility. Esav was into the spiritual thing, and this is the Malbim's first explanation. Yeah, Bechorah, Shebechor who nivdal avodat Hashem, that the Bechor served God, and everyone else would do that, would work for a living. This is the Abarbanel, or the way Rashi puts it, the Bechora. The Fisha Avoda, the Bechora. The Bechora did the Avoda, not the Avoda. Before the day, kind of, right? This is the family of Abraham and Yitzchak. This clearly served Hashem. That was the responsibility of the Bechora. That's what Bechora meant, was the Avoda. It's not appropriate that Esav does that. And that's fine. That explains why Yaakov would want that responsibility and why Esav would belittle it, because he's the Ish Hadeh, he's out there hunting. Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. He's a nice religious boy seeing yeshiva all day. He wants that religious responsibility. Then you have to ask, what was Yitzchak thinking? Yitzchak is giving a bracha to his children. And I want to look at those brachot because we generally understand, it's based on the Sforno, that Yitzchak has two different brachot for his two different children. He's got a bracha for Esav that Yaakov steals, and he's got a bracha for Yaakov that he gives knowing it's Yaakov. And those are different brachot. We've seen this before. This is the bracha for Esav that he thinks he's giving to Esav. Right, he hugs the person he thinks is Esav. He smells him. He smells so fresh and outdoorsy. Look, the scent of my child, kareach hadeh, smells like the field of Shebrach Hashem, blessed by God. God should give you and the dew of the heavens, Mishamei Arz, the fat of the land, robed the country rush, and all the grain and wine. Yabducha Amim, Yitachabulach Alumim, you'll be served by their nations. Yigavilach Kafi, you'll be the leader of your brethren. Yitachabulach Abni Mecha, and your brothers will bow down to you. Aracha Orb, Baracha Baruch. Those who curse will be cursed, those who bless you will be blessed. That's for Esav. That's what Yitzchak intended for Esav. And the bracha for Yaakov is, God should bless you, make you fruitful, multiply, and you will be a multitude of nations. Abraham, and you will get the bracha of Abraham, you and your children, you will inherit the land of your sojourning, that God gave Abraham. That the bracha of intended for Esav is of Tal Shamayim, is all the from the fat of the land and the leadership, and Yaakov was intended to get the bracha of Abraham of Eretz Israel of Zerah Ba'aretz, Rabbi Leibtag puts it. You know, this idea that his sons would work together, dividing up, they'd be the working for a living one, seeing the yeshiva roles for them, and that's the shleimut of the nation, right? Yitzchak has no intention of having them split up or having Esav go leave to Seir or anything like that. They're supposed to form the nation from the two of them. as far as he knows, Esav still is the Bechor, and he's getting the Bechora. Did we know? Because he's surprised when Esav
says,
wait a
minute. Nobody ever told him that it was sold.
Right. I mean, clearly surprised, right? That when Esav tells him, that Yaakov, like Yaakveni, fooled me twice. Bechor Atilakach, way back when we were kids, when he had Talakach Bechati, now takes a bracha. So how does this Bechora, if we're saying Bechora is the Avoda, how does that fit into Esav's role? He's like isn't taking, it isn't giving, as far as you know, Esav is still the Bechor. They haven't switched this out. They haven't swept between the two of them. They think the answer is you have to say what the Avoda meant to the Avoda. What does it mean to have the responsibility of the Avoda? Because we see that they, you know, throughout Bereishit, they build mizbechot. What's interesting is that they rarely are mentioned as bringing karbanot to the mizbechot. There's only one time that's on with the Abdi Akeda that we see any of the avot build a mizbeach and offer karban on it. What do they do?
But it was already in human activity because of Cain and Hevel are bringing karbanot to God.
Yeah, no, I agree that they, I'm sure they did that. But what look at the psukim. We don't, it doesn't say they brought a karban.
Oh.
I'm sure that they did look this there, but what it's missing. It's very strange. Here's Abraham. They take Mishem Ahara, that Abraham is wandering, he's a nomad, he goes east of Beit El and pitches his tent, Beit El Miyam, Va'ay Mikedem, between Beit El and I. But even from his Beach, Hashem, he builds an altar there, by Krav Hashem Hashem, and calls out the name of God. This is, and here's Yitzchak. This is in Beersheba. They even from his Beach, by Krav Hashem Hashem, builds his Beach, and calls out the name of God. By Yitzchak alone, into the tent, by Yitzchak of the Yitzchak of Aaron, there they build a well, they dig a well, and that's Beersheba. And Yaakov. By Bo Yaakov Shalim Yershchem, Asher Beretz Canaan. And Yaakov comes back from Laban, and he's whole, he's healed. When he comes back from Paddan Aram, but he kind of in the ear, and he camps in front of the city of Shechem. But he steps on his back, and he steps up on his back. But he crawls, okay, look, Israel. He calls out, God, God of Israel. Okay? There are no carbonates in it. I'm sure they did a carbon. That's what the Mizbeach is. But that wasn't the point of the Mizbeach. It was to Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, to call out name of God, to spread the knowledge of Hashem in the world. And you can do that not just with the ritual side of a bringing carbon, you can do that through what we call Inyanei Ha'olam as well. You can spread the word of God through just ordinary living your life among people. And we see that by Abraham. Right? When Abraham is a Beersheba, Abraham doesn't build a Mizbeach in Beersheba. He builds an Eshel. But he taught Eshel Beersheba. He builds a hotel in Beersheba. And his hotel is how he was called out in the name of God, right? And Rashi describes it as he would serve people and say, you need to thank your host. And he said, I'm not the host. You need to thank God above. Bring a bracha there. So that's what I assume that's what Esav is. I assume that's what Yitzchak meant for Esav. Esav is the one who's going to have a tal shamayim, misham ne'a aret. He's going to call out through Vayikra b'shem Hashem, right? Yitzay b'fiyat. We just had our meet and greet, they called it, M-E-A-T, for the shul. Right, it was a barbecue.
Oh, cute.
For all the new members. Yes, that was this past Sunday, and that's the Avodat Hashem that I assume that Yitzhak had in mind for Esav, as part of the nation of Abraham. Right, he'd be the Bechor, he'd be leading out the evangelism, calling out the name of God, sitting in shul, carbonal. That wasn't Esav's thing. He knew that. He was going to do it by what Esav was good at, which, as far as Yitzchak knew, was the tzayid b'fiyat, right? He was good at feeding people. He was good at hunting and offering massive barbecues, and everybody loves barbecues. This would be a great way to fulfill the mission of Abraham. But that's not what happens, right? From way back when, Esav, I said despised, but we go held it before in contempt. That mission, Esav held in contempt. Yitzchak didn't realize that. But Esav kept that attitude throughout his life. He, you know, he sells the Bechorah here at age 15, and he still doesn't, he still considers it sold. However many, 50-odd years later, when he's getting this bracha, Yaakov buys it. The Midrash, however, on that says the sale wasn't final until centuries later. The sale, what was that sale? This is the Bereshit Rabbah. The promise couldn't quote the Midrash Rabbah this, that he belittled the Bechorah. He brought together a band of lowlifes after he had sold his Bechorah for the Nazir Hashem Amru, and they said, let's go eat Yaakov's food they gave us, but Nitzchakalav will make fun of him. Right, that was the shot, publicly making fun of it. Tani bar kapara. The feast said, "Hayu kemesach hakim," as they were laughing, "Hiskima kadosh baruch hu." Hashem said, "No, you're right. It's a good joke." Besach kimahem, and God laughed with them. Bekiyam bechor el Yaakov. And Hashem said, "Fine, you think it's funny. Bechor blo. I agree." Hashem says, "Bechor belongs to Yaakov." I mean, where do we see that God agreed that the Bechorah belongs to Yaakov, this sale actually took place? Ketiv Komar Hashem B'ni Bechori Yisrael.
Oh, nice.
That's when Hashem calls Yisrael the Bechor, right? You're the Bechor, and that's where Hashem tells Moshe, you don't go down to let my people go, but Marta El Paro Komar Hashem B'ni Bechori Yisrael.
Danny, you have to note the play on the word Yitzchak in that,
Yes. So I think we talked about last day what tzchok is here, and here it's the tzchok of irony. It's like, you think you're getting the better deal now. This will come to a point where you will end up being, and you know, a forgotten nation somewhere in the Negev, and the Jews will on the banks in Hollywood. I shouldn't say that when I'm recording it, right? But, no. And I mean that. But, okay, so that's been, I like that. We can build on the Sokya idea. But this is the Bechori. Hashem says, no, Bechora belongs to Ovi Yisrael, as Rashi says, the Bechori, the Pshad is Lashem Gedula. Okay, just that they're the great nation, my chosen people. And I have a Nibachor at Nehu, Al Yom Mach Aretz, right? This is in Tehillim. Making some of Bachor means they're higher than all the other kings. Yop Shuto. The Midrash is, Kan Chatam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Mechirat Bechora. This is the point where Hashem says, you're right, this Bechora. Well, I was holding it in abeyance. It wasn't clear what was going to happen with this Bechora, who gets this Bechora, way back when those two kids were arguing each other and laughing about it. But now,
so, when time does that mean?
Trying, now I said, I'm sorry.
Does that mean though that like this, the mechira of it in our parsha has no real meaning? Like, meaning in other words, it wasn't chal; it didn't actually take place until God decided that it was appropriate later on. So does that mean that there was no real mechira then?
Well, there was no,
or like, well, they like, it was like an engagement, but not like a marriage. Like, what does that mean?
Well, I think the answer is that there was no real mechira because there wasn't anything to sell. In other words, in real life, it wasn't a thing. You can't sell something that doesn't exist. That's one concept there. And the Shavua didn't mean anything. And I think it reflected in the attitude of both of them and the attitude of their children as well. But there wasn't something there to be sold. That's what I'm saying, that Mechir doesn't have a price back and forth in there.
It does feel like something changed. When you read that power text, it feels there was a transfer of something.
Yes. But yes, it was
like a transfer, like he had it and then he had it, whatever the it is.
I agree. Right, but I'm saying it wasn't something that you could bring to court and say, here's, I want this there, right? I mean, I don't think that, I mean, if we're saying it's the right to do the avoda, I mean, anybody can do that avoda. I mean, as far as the responsibility to the avoda, it doesn't mean you can, the responsibility to do the avoda. That's, I think, what we're saying is what was transferred there. And, you know, that's why we don't see a price for it either. What did Yaakov pay for that?
Right.
And that's what we're going to deal with that, right?
Is the word machar, is that word up there in the original, the word
machar? Yeah, it does. I still made the point that mechira can mean to transfer without any kind of money involved either.
Yeah,
right.
Press it. Something, it seems, I don't know.
You want something more there than a...
It's like a...
Let me
I don't know.
So I'm gonna end with the Beis HaLevi, which is, what was this Bechorah? What did it mean? And he says, you know what it means? It was the whole mission, the whole future of what it meant to be B'nai Yisrael. That's what the Bechorah is. B'nai Bechori Yisrael, because that was, they were arguing about who's going to be Yisrael in that sense. This is the Beis HaLevi. Itav Medrash. That Hashem says, "B'ni b'chori Yisrael." This is where Hashem says, "Yep, that b'chori, that sale actually happened." Bishlovin, we understand. Madua huskar kan kiyat b'chora shekel Yaakov. Why mention it here? Right? What's the connection with what happened with those two 15-year-olds? Kan Yaakov b'chora. So you call the rim haniftachim Abraham yulo zaro. It's the whole future, the mission, the destiny. The Brit Goral. Okay, I'm gonna get confused here. The Brit Goral of Yisrael. It's the state.
It's two of them, right? He has two.
Brit, he says the Brit Yud, yeah, Brit Goral. I can't remember which one. Brit Yud is the being. What is something is active? Where you are part of this. Brit Goral is the fate that you're born into. So that's what he's saying. That's what. The Nim says, "If Ed can't the bechora, at the moment they went." Yaakov says, "No, I'll take the bechora. The bechora is mine." The Chayev Yaakov Gamba Galut. That part of that was the price of the Galut of you have a dim Arba Mea Chana. They could be enslaved for 400 years. That they're going to be strangers and they'll be in servitude and they'll be in poverty and torture. That's part of the nature of the Bechora, to say, no, you're going to be of the mission of Abraham. So here, that's the zechut of serving Hashem, bring the Kabbanot, and call it Israel and get Israel. That's part of that Bechora. And therefore, you shouldn't imagine that the price was not, he says, rock, I would say it wasn't at all, was not, the price of this Bechora was not the bread and lentil soup. That the price was accepting the price of the Bechora was accepting the negative consequences of this Bechora. Part of what the Bechora was saying, okay, I am going to, I mean, they always have this Brit HaBed HaBedarim, the Ger Yezeracha, hanging over their heads. And Yaakov tells Esav, do you want part of this? Do you want out? And Esav says, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm. Would it have been possible, though, for both of them? Like you were saying before, like, what was the model, right? Like that both of them could have been part of, maybe that was the model. Like they both could have been.
I would certainly argue that Yitzchak saw that as a possibility. Yitzchak had
so it could have been that they both would have been part of the good things and the bad things.
Right, but I agree.
You're saying he wanted to.
That's what Yitzchak had intention of, was that both of them be part of this working together. That there's no reason that, I mean, at some point you have to stop choosing and start expanding. If you have a nation, just like B'nai Yisrael, Yaakov's children were all still part of B'nai Yisrael. Yitzchak's vision would have been that they all should have been Bnei Yitzchak. That was the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, Yaakov looks at Esav back then and says, you know, this is where we're heading. Do you want part of that? And Esav says, no, that's really dumb. That's what he says.
It's like Yitzchak was wrong. It wasn't ready yet to include everyone. And Yaakov saw that. And he said, we can't inherit together. One more generation of kicking out one son. And then.
Right. So that's certainly the way the Midrashim look at the picture. You can argue that that's looking back. And that's very Rabbi Foreman. And look how he looks at, you know, the way he looks at, you know, that. The what if, would it be have been possible for Yitzhak to be right? Could things have worked out differently?
Right.
No. Rabbi Sachs mentioned this as well. And I think you can read it that, yes, you can, you know, that Rivka has this nevuah, Ravi both say here. Okay. Om mil om yemat is the beginning of the parsha. One nation shall be stronger than the other. We can also read it as me from one nation shall draw strength from the other. That yes, they could have read that nevuah as they could have been working together. What I think you can read it that way. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, I have no idea what has happened. I think you can see where Yitzchak is coming from. He wasn't, you know, blind to who Esav was.
But well, when you think about Yaakov and the Shvatim, I mean, like it is a diverse group. There are like the Levim who take care of the Avoda, and then there's like, you know, Issachar who goes to work. I mean, like that is what we have.
Right. That's the idea. I think that's exactly right. Is that, you know, there's Issachar Zebulun is the classic. You know, Zebulun goes to works and Issachar sits and learns. I mean, at some point you need a diversity of people. You can't be just one person, right? You can't just choose the one person to carry it on. You need to get that there. And so that, yes, so that definitely seeing that as Vayivez Esav et Bechora as being a decision. And at the end of Vayishlach, when Yaakov and Esav are reconciled, and Yitzchak passes away, and they live together for a short period of time, and then the passage says that Esav leaves mipnei Yaakov aviv, and there it says explicitly because of the gezera of Ger Yezaracha. Esav leaves Eretz Yisrael. He goes to live with his father-in-law in Seir, but he doesn't want any part of, you know, doesn't want the bracha, doesn't want the mission, doesn't want the fate of Shiva Mitzrayim, and Esav doesn't want any of that. Esav makes that choice, and he keeps that. He doesn't leave because he sold the Bechorah. Yaakov says, look, no, you're the real Bechor. He leaves because he doesn't want it. That sale was binding, it was permanent. But not because of some kind of financial transaction. That's who Esav was. Okay? So that's what the base lady says, V'chakach, hooray. That this was a huge burden. That it would have been a huge burden on both of them. The cave and the that if Esav had been the Bechor and not Yaakov, then the Shibugolia would have been an Esav. Yaakov kind of Bechor of Nifnach Taktav Galut. So Yaakov accepts the fate of Galut, of Ger Yezaracha, to say, okay, I am going to following footsteps of Abraham. That allows him to get the zechut of the avoda as well. So again, the price paid for buying Bechora was accepting the Bechora. That's what I say, that's in the Libyan core. And that means that all of us have done the same thing. We have all bought that Bechora, right? B'ni Bechora Yisrael, that we all built the Bechora in that sense. We have that responsibility, the avoda of Yikar B'Shem Hashem. So now, Yitzchak's vision becomes important. It's a generation later. You just said that, right? There's a variety. There's a whole diversity of what we do in the world, and everything that we do has to be Yikar B'Shem Hashem. Okay, and that's possible. All of us, whether in yeshiva or out there earning a living, because whether we are in tents or outstanding in our field, we are like, we are the Bechor, we are the Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.
I'll see what I can, I'll see how I can bring this over to Mitch and Shelley. I don't know if I'll, I don't know if I'll do it justice. It's interesting. I mean, like Davida said in you, that the next generation, they share the responsibility and the hard consequences. But in this generation, no, it's one or the other. It couldn't be both.
Right.
But those before you were saying how like we're kind of vilifying Esav, and here we're not vilifying Esav. We're saying no, like we're giving him these choices and this is the choice that he's making.
Right.
So
vilifying him in that he didn't want to be close to God. He didn't want that.
Right. Because we know what the right choice is in our lives here. But I think looking at this way teaches as the way to look at the conflict between Yosef and his brothers. Because that's exactly what they're looking at, is what's happening the same thing, right? They're looking at Yosef, okay, clearly, just like Yaakov got this Bechora and Esav his law out, Yosef is treating it this way. Yosef wants to be that Bechor and the only one chosen.
Right.
And we're all going to be out. And they don't want that. They explicitly aren't selling the Bechor apart. And that's what this—that's what the conflict between Yosef and their brothers are, because it's entirely possible you would have got another generation of selection until, and Yosef's children would have been Bnei Israel.
Right.
Isn't that what we say, like in Nikkei, or not in in Vayesha, that like it was like a Rodef, and that's why they were like, how could such, you know, people like try and kill their brother and do all those terrible things, because they really thought they were
They were going to be lost. They were going to be lost, and where they didn't want to make that choice. Yeah, Esav made the choice, and you can say it's a rational choice not to be part of this, right? Would you choose to be Jewish? If you found out that, you know something, your parents weren't actually Jewish.
Are you suggesting
Would you convert? I think I would, but I think I'd go to, you know, a Ponderosa Steakhouse first. But, and then I would go ahead and convert.
Wait, could you briefly how this plays out with Yosef and the brothers? So what? He wants to be the Bechor. Well, they see him.
They see him as this position of what Yaakov wrote to Esav, is that he says not just Bechor in the sense of the leader, but of the only one, of that Esav is actually, you know, Esav is not just secondary. But Yitzhak's vision is, okay, Esav would be the Bechor, Yaakov be part of that. It'd be one nation with one Bechor who leads the service, but they're only part of the nation. But what happens with Esav is Esav actually leaves. In Esav's case, it's willing. They see Yosef as pushing them out. They see Yosef as, okay, that the next is this idea of Bechira. Rabbi Lutzak is Bechira versus Bechira and then Bechor. That's the process of Bechira. Abraham, just one out of the whole world. Yitzchak and Yishmael and the rest of the Keturah are out of the holy nation. Am Segula. Yaakov is chosen. Esav is out of the Am Segula. Yosef is chosen. The other brothers are out of the Am Segula.
But no.
And at some point, they got. Right. But they don't want that. But they're the first generation to say, no.
Right.
We all are part of the Am Segula. You can't kick us out. Right. And that's right. That's why I think the way to read the conflict between them is are we part of it? Are we done with the Bechira process?
There was an echoing of the brothers bowing down to the brother. I mean, there was a clear echo to Yosef. His dream, when I think it was in the bracha that he gives to Yaakov, thinking it was Esav, right? Your brothers will bow down to you.
Yes. Right. But that one, again, that's okay. That's still all part of the same people, just with one leader. Right. The bracha there did not involve rejecting them.
Yeah.
Rejecting Esav, rejecting Yaakov.
Right.
And it's also this way, that's also Rabbi Ben Nun's explanation of why Yosef doesn't call home for all those years. You know, he's viceroy of Egypt. You can at least send a letter saying, "Hi, Dad, I'm alive." Plus, Yosef looks at himself and says, "Well, obviously, this is still a process of Bechira, and I was rejected."
Yeah.
No one's come down to, I know, I'm not part of it, and he's going to be, he'll grow up to be a fine, a good Yirei Elokim Egyptian. He's no longer part of the Am Segula. And then when they come back, we realize, wait a minute, we can all be one nation again. We can get back together.